How many of you know who Richard Rohr is? Most of you do. How many of you know that he sends out an email every day called Daily Meditations? A few of you. If you like Richard Rohr and you're interested in reading something every day from him, I highly recommend you Googling just Richard Rohr Daily Meditations, and you can sign up for that. But his daily meditation today was very appropriate. It's about prayer, actually. And I'm going to talk about three different ways to pray, and they all have different ways of connecting us to God using either our heart, our mind, or our body. And this is what he says about that particular thing. So before I dive in to what I'm going to say about prayer, listen to what Richard Rohr says. He says, the supreme work of spirituality, which makes presence possible, so presence being open to the presence of God, is keeping the heart space open, keeping a right mind, and keeping the body alive with contentment and without attachment to its past woundings. In that state, so having all these right orientations, you're neither resisting nor clinging, and you can experience something genuinely new. Those who can keep all three spaces open at the same time will know the presence they need to know. That's the only prerequisite for prayer. People who can simply be present will know what they need to know. The presence that connects everything to everything. So as I talk about prayer today, there is no magic formula for this. There's only being open to what is already available. So I just want to have you keep that in mind as I talk about prayer. So when I was asked to speak about this prayer practice for the church, I want you to know that there are different ways of praying. And so I'm going to lead you through three of those today. And they can all be helpful as we seek to engage with Christ in our daily lives. And when I say daily, it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to do these every single day or you're failing. Okay, this is a way to be open in the way that works best for you. God just wants you to spend time with him. So after I walk through the three practices, we're going to have time to participate in the service for you to do those. Now, there are obviously more ways to pray than just three, but I'm going to offer these ways to kind of dive into that age-old stream of practices. And all of these practices have been practiced for centuries. These ways of praying are not new. So as I talk, one may stand out to you, and that's good. When we get to that, you can practice that one. If one doesn't stand out, that's also fine. One thing I might encourage, though, is if there's one that you're just like, ugh, that sounds terrible, or that sounds really hard, maybe that's the one you do today because you have a very safe place to practice it. And maybe you'll figure out you don't really like that one. In the formation communities, we go through these prayer practices, and there was one quarter where we were supposed to try different prayer postures, and one of them was like laying down while you pray, and it was terrible. But I at least got to say that I tried it because I fell asleep. So anyway, you have a safe space here to try these. So I just want to encourage you. Now, when Richard Rohr talks about the heart, mind, and body, the three that I'm going to talk about relate to these three areas. So I'm going to first talk about icons. So if you're someone who stays in your head, like, and that's your main way of engaging with the world, engaging with God, engaging with others, icons can help us use our heads to connect to our hearts. If you're somebody who's moving around all the time, labyrinths can give your motion a purpose. And instead of flitting about, you have an actual purpose to your motion. So if you're somebody who's always moving, a labyrinth can be helpful, and I'll talk about those. And then if you're in between, you use your mind, you use your body, prayer beads can really connect all three. It can be a simple way to connect all three. So I'm going to go through those three, but the last thing I'm going to suggest before I move on, and I'm going to say, buckle up a little bit. I was a teacher and I like handouts. And so this is a handout heavy service. And so there's a lot of information I'm going to be throwing at you, but all of it will be available during the prayer practice. So you don't actually have to think about it too much. Okay. Please be gentle with yourself as you go through these. Okay. Dan, I was really appreciative last week when you mentioned the monkey mind, because I think that that's something that's very real to us. He said, you know, that it's kind of hard to settle your monkey mind. If you're like me, I usually, I start thinking about something I need to get done, and I'm so worried that I'm going to forget to get that thing done that it consumes all of the time that I've set aside to do something. So if you're like that at all, I would encourage you to get out a piece of paper and a pencil, or a writing utensil, or make a note on your phone And it's just a way you can park that idea so you don't have to worry that you're going to forget it later. So it's just, I'm not going to forget it. I've written it down. So instead of being consumed by it, just take the 30 seconds to write it down and then get back to the practice. Okay. So the first prayer practice I want to talk to you guys about is praying using an icon. Icons have been around for centuries. And the key to praying with an icon is to just notice it. One website I read called Icons, A Theology of Colors. Okay, so these are some icons that have the Christ child, they have Mary, but you can tell they're very colorful and they tell the story of Jesus or of Christianity, or there's one that explains the Trinity, but it's a way to engage through art. So we're going to focus on one specific icon today. It's called the Pantocrator. This is the Pantocrator. We've used this icon at Imago before. Charlie did a whole sermon on the Pantocrator. But I want everybody to notice in this particular icon, do you see how the sides of Jesus' face look different? It's made that way for a specific reason, okay? So depending on which side you focus on, you're going to see something different. If you mirror image the two halves of his face, this is what they would look like. So we have like a youthful Jesus and an older Jesus, maybe a peaceful Jesus and maybe a Jesus that's not very happy with you. But you can see there's a huge difference between these two. Okay. So when you are noticing this particular icon, you just need to notice what you notice. Pay attention to how you feel. Which side are you going to respond more to? Anxious? You're going to feel peaceful, loved, judge. But any prayer practice, particularly with this icon, can you go back to the original? Yes. So, basically, any prayer practice that you start, the first thing you want to do is just ask God to be present with you. We do not do this because we need to like ask God to come visit us. We don't ask God to be present because he's not already here. We actually ask God to be present with us to remind us that he is here. So the asking is the reminder to us. So anytime you start praying with an icon, ask God to be present with you. And as you take note of God's presence with you, you're going to turn your full attention to the image. And you're just going to notice it. If this is the way you choose to pray during the practice portion that we have, I have questions to lead you through how to do this. You don't have to think about it. You're just going to be asking yourselves these questions. If you don't want to use the questions and you still want to reflect on the icon, that is completely up to you. So you can do free form. You can do the specific questions. If you want a copy of this to take home, there will be copies of it as well. So if you want to focus on this later, you can do that. But this is a particular icon I think has so much to offer us. The other thing I do want to say is there are kids in the room and there are kids' versions of the questions up here because prayer practices are for kids too. Okay? All right. So you can always get that later. We'll go on from this. All right. The next one. How many of you have heard of prayer beads? A fair amount of you. That's good. Okay. This is my set of prayer beads. These are the ones that I use. I made these. They're very special to me. They're made out of a stone called sodalite, which is my favorite mineral because it's blue. If prayer beads end up being your thing, I encourage you to make your own set. There's a handout at the information booth if you want to know how to make your own. But this is probably a practice I do more regularly than any of the others. Maybe you didn't know about prayer beads, but how many of you know of the Catholic Rosary? A lot more of you, actually. So they have more beads than ours. Rosaries have 59 beads. Ours only have 33. And rosaries globally have specific prayers that go with them. If you want history of prayer beads, there's also a handout at the information booth. One of the very first uses of any kind of markation of prayers was the Desert Father. They would pray the entire Psalter. So all 150 Psalms, they would pray it every day by memory, and they would use stones to remember where they were. So that's kind of where prayer beads started. But we can do whatever we want with prayer beads. We do not have to recite 150 Psalms every day. So the way that the prayer beads work, you have a cross at the bottom. You have something called the invitatory bead. And then you work around to the right. The bigger beads are called cruciform beads. And then each set of seven is called a week. So as you move through prayer beads, if this is the practice that you choose, I also have prayer beads in the back. You can keep them if you want. And then there's a very specific thing to pray. So the whole idea of today is to give you very specific chances to practice these ways of praying. I want to give you a brief example of how I use prayer beads. Now, I will say I couldn't find crosses to make everything with a cross. So it's a circle with a cross stamped on it on the beads that you have. But you start with, I start with the cross. I say the Lord's Prayer. I move to the invitatory bead and I kind of set my intention for what I'm going to pray about. And then I usually pray for my family because there are four members in my family other than me. And so I'll move to the first bead and let's say I'm praying for Corey and I'll say a short prayer over Corey. Then for the next seven beads, I will come up with a freeform prayer of things that I pray for him. And then when I get to the next cruciform bead, I would switch to maybe Ainsley, and I would say seven prayers freeform for Ainsley, and I'd go all the way around the prayer beads. And when I get back to the invitatory bead, I'd say the Lord's Prayer again, or thank God for my time with him. Something very simple. The idea behind prayer beads, the reason that I think that they're particularly helpful is because it keeps my hands busy. I don't have to think about it really very hard. If your hands are busy and your mind is busy, I like to say that there's kind of an opening in the back of your brain that you have a chance to kind of go a little bit deeper. So you're engaging in more than one prayer. You're praying with your hands, you're praying with your words, and you're praying with your heart and spirit kind of as your hands move along the prayer beads. So once again, if that's the prayer practice you choose to engage, there's prayer beads in the back and there's a very specific way for you to pray. So the goal today is not for you to have to think about it very hard. There are two kids versions as well, because once again, prayer practices are for kids as well. I read an article this week that children are probably more easily connected to God than maybe adults are. They're more open to it. So I encourage the kids to grab the coloring sheets back there. All right. So I know this is a lot of information. The last one I want to talk to you about is something called labyrinths. How many of you are familiar with the idea of a labyrinth? A few of you. That's awesome. Okay. So this is one of my favorite quotes about a labyrinth. If life is viewed as a maze, every mistake is an unnecessary detour and a waste of time. But if life is viewed as a labyrinth, then every mistake is part of the path and an indispensable master teacher. The reason this is important is because you can't get lost in a labyrinth. There's only one way in and there's only one way out. So it's not a maze. You don't make mistakes when you're in a labyrinth. So just a little bit about labyrinths. First off, there are two types. One of them is very old. It was on a Cretan coin, actually from mythology, the labyrinth in Greek mythology. So this is the classic labyrinth. It's a little bit more simple than the next one, the Chartres. This one is on the floor of a cathedral in France, hence the name Chartres. Okay, so this one's a little bit more complicated. Whatever is in the center of the labyrinth will vary. Labyrinths, like the very first picture with the quote on it, they can be mowed into grass, made out of rocks to form a path, marked into sand, or taped onto floors. I'm actually hoping maybe during Lent to tape one onto the Parkview floor and lead people through how to use them if you're actually walking. Today, we're just going to do a finger labyrinth. On this particular version, there are crenellations on the outside. There are 112 crenellations. It's four lunar cycles. You can see it's kind of divided into four sections. So you could go into the four seasons. You could go into four lunar cycles according to the moon. You can just go so many places with this and ascribe so much meaning to it if you want, but we're not going to get into that today. And just so you know, there are two labyrinths in Peoria. There is one at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. As you're driving to the church, there's a huge concrete patio. If you go down and look at it, it's actually pavers with a labyrinth done into the pavers of different colors, so you know where to go. And then at Unity Church off of Avalon, there is a Cretan one or a classic one, and it's painted onto their parking lot. So if that's something you're interested in doing, I highly encourage you. I went to a seminar of labyrinths, and it was fantastic. So a labyrinth particularly is similar to praying with prayer beads. You're using motion, but there's no repetition. The focus in a labyrinth is to hold an intention or a question as you move along the path and think about it as your companion. So what you're going to do as you make turns with the labyrinth is you're going to be tracing it with your finger. So there are labyrinths up here, and you're going to have to really pay attention because it can get tight in there, but you're going to trace it with your finger. And as you go through the labyrinth, there's a page that goes with it that tells you exactly what to do as you're tracing the labyrinth. And there's also a kid's version to go with that. Okay? All right. So that was a ton of information, and I appreciate you for staying with that. But as we go forward as a community to practice these today, please remember, these are not the only way to pray, and you can modify them however you want, rework them so they might better suit you. And the main thing I want you to remember is prayer is any way you practice communing with God. And words are not always involved. All right, so remember, if you're someone who stays in your head, maybe icon is what you want to do today. If you're someone who's constantly moving, maybe you want to do the finger labyrinth. And if you're in between the two, you can do prayer beads. All right, so I'm going to give you 3 to 4 minutes, and I'll tell you when to get up, and we're going to scatter. So if you want to focus on the icon, it will be on the screen, and then there's the questions for the icon are up here on this side. If you want to do the labyrinth, like trace the labyrinth and go with that, those are up here. And then there's, once again, there's kids' versions above everything. If you want to do prayer beads, they're in the back. You saw them when you came in. And I'm going to give you about 10 to 12 minutes to practice this. So you can grab what you want to do, and you can either come back to your seat, or you can scatter throughout the church and go to the lounge or the Parkview room, wherever you want to go. And then when the 10 to 12 minutes is up, Dustin will be ringing a chime. So we'll make sure no matter where you're at, you hear the chime, and we'll come back, and we're just going to reflect on how it went. The instructions I've made are hopefully clear, and if they're not, just raise your hand. Guides will be walking around to help you. And remember, the whole point of doing this in this specific way today is so that you don't have to think about it. This time is for you and for you and God to meet together. So just kind of relax, pick a practice, and kind of dive in. So I'm going to give you 3 to 4 minutes. You would actually have to get up and get what you want and get what you want, and then come back to your seat. And it looks like about everybody has figured out what they're doing. So if everybody wants to settle in, once again, if you have questions, raise your hand. I will try to help you. Dustin will try to help you. And we will ring a chime when the practice time is over, and we'll go through a reflection together. Remember, this time is for you and for God. Don't panic if nothing happens. It's okay. Fidelity matters. Fidelity in giving God your time matters. All right. So while the music plays softly, dive into what you've chosen, and we will go from here. All right. How many of you felt like that was the longest 12 minutes ever? Some of you, yes, that's okay. It's totally okay. All right, just before we start discussing, remember that what you just did matters. May not feel like it matters, but it did. I can't guarantee outcomes or anything like that, but that's the idea of it being a practice. It's something you do over and over again because you know it matters. Okay. So what did you think? Did you like the practice you picked? Did you not? You liked it? What did you like about it? Okay. So he was thinking about how long it would take you to get there, but you did get there. Right. Interestingly enough, the Chartres Cathedral, there is no word in French for labyrinth. They call everything a maze. So here we get a little bit more nuance because we can say maze and labyrinth, which I just think is interesting. So, yes. Okay. So she liked it because she could move her hands while she thought about her family. I prayed for my family as well. Yeah. You like when your mother is kind? We all like that. How many of you did the labyrinth? I'm just curious. Okay, how many of you did prayer beads? Okay, and how many of you just looked at the screen and focused on the icon? That's about even for everything. That's awesome. That makes me really happy, guys. What worked? Okay. So you liked that there was a rhythm to it? Okay, so you liked that the labyrinth had structure? That can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. The beads helped you slow down. Exactly. I'm glad you noticed that. That makes me really happy. You notice that the beads change shape and size, so you can do it with your eyes closed. Made you more focused on what you're praying to God. I like that a lot. You guys are awesome. Makes me so happy. Yeah, so your monkey mind got channeled to your hand, maybe? Yeah? Yeah, I'm glad that she was able to connect to that. That's fantastic. Remember something from the previous set? You like the focus of the beads? Okay, was anything weird? Yes, it can get frustrating knowing you're moving away from the center, even though there is a path to the center that you are on. Yes. Yeah, it can be different. Not knowing where you're going, you are going somewhere using the finger labyrinth. Good way to describe life, yes. How many of you wished you had picked something else? A couple of you? That's fine. Take the extras home, please. I think the prayer beads are gone, so if you want more, my children made all of those prayer beads, and I'm sure they would make you a set. Okay. How many of you, even if you weren't entirely sure what you're doing, felt like you had some kind of connection to God? A lot of you. That's fantastic. Do you understand, though, that even if you didn't feel a connection to God, you were sitting in a room full of connection to God? And even if you didn't feel it personally, know that it matters that you're sitting in just the cloud of witnesses around you that testify that there is a connection to God available. Sometimes we just have to believe it for each other, and we carry that for each other. So I'm so happy that you guys were able to feel that. How many of you are going to try the ones you didn't try today? Some of you? Good, good. All right. Guys, I just thank you. It's a vulnerable space to be in, you know, do something that maybe you aren't familiar with. So the fact that you even tried these things today says something about your character. So thank you for being present to your community today. Just thank you. All right. But even though this is kind of like a taste, 10 to 12 minutes of trying something like this, you can move forward with these practices. It doesn't have to just be something that you practice on Sunday. And I truly hope that as you go throughout the week, in the weeks to come, especially during Advent, when sometimes it can be easier to feel God's presence because maybe you're in a joyful spot or you're surrounded by family or you have, you know, some people really like the Christmas season. So maybe it's easier to feel God's presence. I want to encourage you, though, as you move forward, to just find your own times and ways. Maybe one of these, maybe you really liked the practice, the specific practices that I chose for these. If those are working for you, that's great. And if we need extra copies, I have copies of everything. Please don't hesitate to ask me because I would love to give you the resources and tools that you need to feel like you can connect to God. If you don't like these, particularly the prayer bead one, there is a handout on the info booth that walks you through how to make your own prayer bead prayers. So if that's something you're interested in, that's on the info booth. Sorry. Okay. One last thing. Please remember that as you sit down or as you practice prayer, it doesn't have to be, and now is my time where I will sit down with God and I will pray through a list of people. That can work. And I don't want to discourage that. But I will say for a long time, that's the only thing that I thought I could do. And so hopefully today you found some new ways to pray and you can do it however you want. So as you work through these things through the week, here are some ideas how to use these specific prayer practices if one of them really spoke to you. You can carry the beads in your pocket. I've done that before. And you can offer prayers or remembrances to God, just remembering things before God, bringing them to what you would think, bringing them to his attention, asking him to remember you, as you slide your fingers along them in your pocket. You could leave the finger labyrinth on the counter or on your fridge. And as you pass by, just trace a couple turns and talk to God about what you're feeling in that exact moment, or talk to God about something that's really bothering you or something that you're really happy about. You don't have to do the whole thing. You can just trace a few turns. That's fine. You could grab a copy of the Pantocrator, which I don't think there's any left, but I will make more. You could put that up in somewhere in your home or in your workspace. And as you look at it, you could tell God, man, I feel like you're really angry at me today, and I have no idea why. That's the side of this icon I'm relating to. Or you could say, wow, you seem so peaceful to me today, and that's the side I'm relating to, and tell God why that is. And I love what Sarah said, that your kids can engage in this too, and that they can be excited about these. They are for your kids too. Okay, so there's two versions of the prayer beads. There's a version of the finger labyrinth, and there's a version for kids of the Pantocrator icon questions. I will say, though, if you want to talk to your kids about this stuff, they're probably not going to bring it up. You have to bring it up. Okay? You have to share your experiences with them and ask their experiences, what they are. That's how kids learn faith. They watch you. So let them see you doing these things. It's not being prideful. It's not, oh, I'm supposed to go into my closet to pray. Sure, a little bit maybe, but your kids need to see you practicing your faith. And so I really encourage you, as you think about these prayer practices, find ways to engage with your kids over them. All of that, just do something. It matters. Everything belongs. Everything we do is used in the kingdom of God. Nothing is wasted. The time you spent here today, even if it felt like a waste of time, it wasn't. Nothing is wasted, no matter how small or how stumbling. That's what Advent is. God is longing to be with you. And if you're present to him, that's how that longing gets answered. So God is longing to be with you, so much so that he came in the form of Jesus. He came to be with us, and he wants to be one of us. He wants to be with us. And that's how we know the way of love. So thank you for practicing with me today. Just thank you. It matters so much.